Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if you have some issue you're struggling with in life, well, we'd love to hear from you on this edition. We, of course, have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. Basic Gospel, of course, is a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ, and that's our purpose, and we want you to be a part of it, partake of it. 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and welcome, everybody, to this brand new week at Basic Gospel. I want to start out with a question for you. What choices will you make in life in light of the hope that you have in Christ Jesus? And hope is our topic for this particular month. We have a great resource that we want to put in your hands to help you gain some hope in your life and learn how to live practically every day, living out who you are in Christ Jesus. That's our friend Andrew's book, The Hurt and the Healer. Right. And it's our way of saying thank you for your gift this month, The Basic Gospel. But hope is an important motivator. Hope is an important reality for all of us. We all need hope. Without it, we're going to wither up and die emotionally and soulishly and all of those sort of things. I was talking to my wife, Gina, and she's in the airline industry. And since this COVID pandemic has come about, she said a number of pilots have committed suicide because they've lost hope. They haven't been able to fly. They haven't been able to earn their normal income. And they lost hope as far as a way out of their circumstances. So we're seeing a lot of that. And that's why hope is so vitally important. We need it. And there's hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the thing that hope does, it changes our attitudes. It changes our actions. Mm-hmm. And we see a perfect example of that in Moses. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we see this great hall of fame of faith, so to speak, all of these saints of old that God was commending for their faith. And Moses was one of those. He's in the lineup. And in verse 24, we read this: "By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Certainly, he could have claimed that. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, but he knew who he was. He knew he was a Hebrew. He knew that he wasn't born into that Egyptian family. And even though he could have claimed it, even though he could have grabbed hold of the riches of the world, so to speak, he maintained his identity as a Hebrew. And I think that's important for us. Hope really connects us and anchors us to who we are in Christ Jesus. So it says, when he was grown, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So those were the choices that were laid out before Moses. So he could have followed the path of Pharaoh and lived that kind of life. But he knew he didn't belong there. He knew he wasn't truly Pharaoh's son.
Right.
He knew he was a Hebrew. So he chose to identify with the people of God. He chose to identify himself with the one true God. And so he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So he knew that something was up ahead for him based on the promises that God had given him. He was looking forward to that day when his full reward would be experienced.
Right.
And that hope changed Moses. It shaped his here and now. So he could have claimed to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have claimed all the riches of Egypt. He could have lived a life of fleeting pleasures of sin, but he chose not to. What made him make that choice? The hope that he had in Christ Jesus. Now, that's what we need to come to in our own lives. what choices will we make in light of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus? Is giving in to the temptations of this world, is giving in to the desires of this flesh worth it in light of what we have in Christ, in light of who we are in Christ? And the answer is a resounding no. So I want you, as a listener of Basic Gospel, I want you to take a deep dive into the Word of God and to look at the hope that you have in Christ. And as you go into the Word of God, I want you to pray that the Lord would enlighten your minds, that He would open up your spiritual eyes so that you can see the hope that you have in Jesus, so that God can fully reveal it to you, so you can be anchored in your life, and so this hope can influence the choices that you make. And like I said, every day choices are laid before us. We have opportunities to go the way of the world, or we have opportunities to simply trust Jesus Christ, to entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly, to entrust ourselves to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Those are the choices. One is a pathway of death. The other is a pathway of life. If you're in Christ, you've already been made alive. You have chosen that path of life. And as you are going through your day-to-day, and as these different choices come to you, just recognize that you don't belong to this world. You're not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You're a child of the King. You're a child of God. And what God has for you is more valuable. The wealth of His grace, His love, His mercy is more valuable than anything the world can offer. So let this hope enable you to choose and take hold of this life that you have in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for that admonition, Bob. Great stuff. And friends, thank you for being here for this edition of Basic Gospel. We'd love for you to partake of it. 844-322-2742. It's a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada. We would love to hear from you. Again, 844-322-2742. Open lines right now. You know, we love being here every day proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone who loves the truth, helping listeners old and new to hear, believe, and live in this good news. Our most sincere thanks to each one of you who supports Basic Gospel each month. Ministry happens because of your love for the message. And to say thanks for your gift this month, we want to send you a copy of the excellent book that Bob mentioned, The Hurt and the Healer, co-authored by Mercy Me's Bart Millard and our own Andrew Farley. Now, through its pages, Bart and Andrew detail the truth that when the pain and struggles of life are met by the loving grace of Jesus Christ, wonderful things can happen. And as you make your November gift to support Basic Gospel, we're going to send you a copy of The Hurt and the Healer. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. Our gift back to you to say thanks for your support in the month of November. Again, please donate today at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had a question from Susan who wrote to us via email. It's extremely difficult, she says, to believe God loves me. I'm 61. When I was 10, my parents divorced, and when I was 17, my mother committed suicide. Several weeks after my mother's death, I asked the Lord into my life. I turned my back on the Lord shortly after being saved because I was so angry for my mom's death. I've made so many bad choices, and the consequences of pain are so awful. I've asked for forgiveness, but how and when can I forgive myself?
Well, that is a great question, and I know a lot of people struggle with that, and they will make statements just similar to hers. And, you know, I know God has forgiven me, but I just can't forgive myself. Well, if that's the case, then you really don't know that God has forgiven you, because that is the issue. Your standards for forgiveness aren't higher than His. So if you're thinking that He's forgiven you and you haven't forgiven yourself, then you just don't know what God has done for you. And that's where you need to start. And this all ties into the very first part of your statement there, Susan. I just don't know that God loves me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, He demonstrated His love for you that while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. So if you want to know about the love of God, you have to look to the cross of Jesus Christ. There, God vividly demonstrated his love for you. And he did so in dying for your sins. So when you come to grips with what Christ did, and you recognize that you're not only clean and forgiven, but that you have also been made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ, then you will be able to forgive yourself. Now, as far as what you've encountered in your life, your parents divorced, your one of them commit suicide, the anger that you had toward God as far as that situation is concerned, all of that is understandable. All of that is just part of the human experience. And bad stuff happens. It happens to all of us. And certainly what you've endured is pretty bad. I mean, to have your parents divorce and then to have one of them commit suicide, that is a horrible tragedy, a horrible thing for a girl to go through.
Sure.
But that doesn't change what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. And that's where you need to lift your eyes to the work of Jesus Christ through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He's promised he's going to make all things work together for good. You have some pretty tough situations that he's going to have to work together to bring about some good as far as your life is concerned. But if you can come through this, looking at the cross of Jesus Christ, knowing that your sins have been forgiven, and to walk every day with a thankful heart because of that, you will be on a road where you can truly experience the fullness of this relationship that you've been called into by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So, Susan, take a fresh look at the cross. Take a look at some passages, Romans chapter 5, for example, 5 verses 6 through 12. Then look at 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 8 all the way through the end of chapter 4. You will see how God demonstrated his love for you through the cross of Jesus Christ. And recognizing that it was love that sent Jesus to that cross, his love for you will help you come to this place of rest in your own life. And that's what you need, is to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. When you're resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you know that he has forgiven you of your sins, and you have forgiven yourself as well.
Absolutely. Great answer, Bob, and thank you for that. Friends, want you to be a part of this one, 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the live broadcast, you can call straight into the studio right now and speak with Bob, Christopher, and me. We'd love for you to take advantage of that opportunity right now, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines, and we will, if I can get this thing to work, we'll go to Garden Grove, California, and talk to Ron. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Bob. Good talking to you again. How's everything, my brother?
Going well. How about you?
Oh, fantastic. Just out here in another little mini heat wave out here. I was going to ask you, I got a question about in Luke 14, 26 and 27, in those passages, you know, where it begins with, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, then he goes down and he says, whoever doesn't bear his cross cannot be my disciple. Was he giving us those examples, telling us that we can't do those and we have to actually die to self and then come to him by faith? Is that what he was saying, that we could never do those things?
No, he's just saying, you know, as far as we're concerned, we have affections in life. We have things that are important to us. And if we put those things or those people in a place that is superior to what our affection should be toward Christ himself, then we're kind of missing the boat. And that's all he's saying here, is that once we've received new life in Jesus Christ, all these other things can take their proper place. So I know when people have struggled in life and you know, they've had strong families and that sort of thing, and that's where their identity was really based. But still, they understood that something was missing. And then they come to Christ and they recognize that the truth of the gospel is the most important, that God himself is the most important. And they receive Christ by grace through faith, and they're made alive, and God's Spirit comes to live inside, and God's Spirit pours the love of God into their hearts, then their love for their family actually increases. So they made this choice and said, hey, life isn't found in my family. Life isn't found in my identity as a Christopher, for example, on my part. Life is found in Christ. So I want to identify with Christ. And I see that that's the most important thing in life. So in choosing Christ, it looks like you're saying to your family, you're not that important to me. But what you're actually saying is that you're ultimately important, and my relationship with Christ is going to make my love for you grow in exponential ways.
Yeah, exactly. It's so hard to understand. I mean, when you explain it, it's great. Now I understand it. But when you just come and read that passage, you know, you go, wait a minute here. How can I do all this stuff? You know, it's like, wow.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And he says, bear your cross and come after me. You know, you can't be my disciple. Well, I mean, we bear our cross. We did come after him by accepting him as our Savior, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, like Peter and Andrew and James and John, they were fishermen, and they left their boats. They left their fishing. That was their way of life.
Yes,
and they said, hey, we're going to follow you.
And although they left and went with Christ, they didn't hate their fishing after that. They were still fishermen, but they were fishing for men instead of actually fish. Right.
Right. They found something more valuable, more important, something eternal in Jesus Christ. And
right.
they would have left anything to be able to follow him. There's this saying in the investment world, if somebody learns how to make money in the stock market, people will actually swim through shark infested waters to invest their money with that guy. And they'll risk anything and everything, thinking they're gonna make a lot of money with this particular investor. And I think that's kind of the feel, the take of what's here when we understand who Jesus is, what he did for us at the cross. Then we will forsake anything and everything just for the opportunity of knowing him. That's what this is all about.
Well, thanks, Bob. As usual, you clarified it for me again, and I do appreciate it and everything. And we will talk to you soon, brother out there. You and Bob, you both take care, and God bless both of you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Ron.
Well, thank you, Ron. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go up to New York and talk to Lucretia. Hi, Lucretia.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
We're doing fine. How about you?
I'm great. I've actually called before, back when I was in the Bronx. I don't know if you remember.
I do.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you also. The materials that you sent for the girls was awesome. There was a children's book where one of the characters was a donkey.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And it explained so well why Jesus did what he did, how he died for us, and why he couldn't just tell us. She just came back into the living room with eyes wide open, like, this is so awesome.
That's
like,
great.
You don't understand, yeah. Mom. It's so clear. So,
very
another,
nice.
Here's another question from one of them. you know, they give all the really hard ones. So
most kids do. They like to ask the humdingers.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I've answered this question before, but I guess not for what really hits the heart of the matter. So she asked me, if God is, you know, God, why does he allow evil things to happen? She said, is he just not powerful enough? I said, no, he has all the power. And, you know, we have free will, but it's not coming across clearly what I'm saying, I guess. I mean, it's a big concept.
Right. It's a big it is a big topic. Why does God allow evil? And certainly, you know, that all began with Satan. And evil is not, you know, not a thing that was created. Evil is kind of a derivative. It's a perversion of good, isn't it? So we see, for example, in the garden, while God made man, and he made them male and female, and that the two were to come together as one. And that's what marriage is. It's one male, one female, leaving, cleaving, becoming one in the flesh, and then serving one another in love. Well, we've perverted that, haven't we? The world system has perverted what marriage was intentionally designed to be. And so we would call that perversion an evil. Why? Because it's not the good that God had originally created. God created Satan or Lucifer and as a beautiful angel, and he had a role within God's creation. And he said, no, that's not enough. I want to be God. I want to usurp your authority, and I want to take it as my own. And so he wasn't content with how God created him. And so he tried to reach out and grab all of God's characteristics and try to make them his own. Well, that's an impossibility, but that's what his eyes desired. And so he was kicked out of heaven. So that was where the perversion of good began. And where evil first showed up, and he was booted from heaven, and then he started to deceive and lie to humanity. That's what he did in the garden, didn't he? He made that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, desirable to Adam and Eve, so much so that they got to the point where they freely chose to eat of that tree, the very tree that God said don't eat of. And so they perverted what God said was good and made it something evil. And that's how kind of evil came into this world. And so God is going to work through that as he's done throughout human history, and he will continue to do. He is going to work through that to bring about his purposes for you and for me in Christ Jesus. And there's going to be a time when all things are going to be made right. So it's simply a perversion of good that happened first with Satan. He brought that into the Garden of Eden. That affected mankind. And so it thrust mankind into this realm of sin and death. And because we're in the realm of sin and death, we're going to see evil happening on a daily basis. But we have the goodness of God that is there that we can look to, we can depend upon, and we can trust to work all things together for our good. So, Lucretia, amen. I don't know if that helps, but...
yes, absolutely. She's okay. Going to listen in on the broadcast. We'll sit down and hear your answer together.
That's excellent. Great. Excellent. Yeah. Well, thanks for your call. Always good to hear from you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Lucretia.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And friends, thank you for joining us today. Keep in mind that if you have Bible questions or if you're struggling with some troublesome issue of everyday living, we're here to help. Give us a call at 844-322-2742, and we'll discuss it on Basic Gospel in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And again, thanks to the many of you who faithfully support Basic Gospel every month with your prayers and with your gifts to keep Basic Gospel on the air and online. Please help today if you can by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. And then when you make your November gift, we want to send you a copy of this great book, The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. That's basicgospel.net, and it's a wonderful book, and we hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity of getting your copy today. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.